Iraq now has a unique distinction, the leading nation in suicide attacks in the world, 514 between March 2003, when the war began, and August 2006, a period that Mohammed Hafez studied for his new book, Suicide Bombers in Iraq. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Iraq didn't have a history of suicide bombers before March 2003. Who were the first ones?
Interestingly, the first two attacks took place by Iraqi Baathists, who were sent by the Iraqi state as the invasion was taking place. And I believe they were two women. I heard stories of a pregnant woman, but no one can really confirm that. But really, most suicide attacks in Iraq since then have been carried out by foreigners. What Iraq has done is it really served as a galvanizing place where anyone with a grievance, a personal grievance, a grievance against the U.S., a grievance against Israel, could then go to that place and express those grievances in their own ways, oftentimes through joining jihadist groups, particularly the al-Qaeda folks. And those individuals are most often used in suicide attacks because they tend to have little experience in fighting. They are new to the jihad, and so they want to do something that is impactful, but at the same time doesn't require tremendous training or skill.
Islam is pretty clear about suicide. As a matter of fact, it's very clear about suicide, and it is prohibited. So what is the compelling argument to get around that?
First of all, they reject the argument that this is suicide. What they argue is that a suicidal person kills him or herself because they are depressed, they are hopeless, they lack faith in God. The jihadists, on the other hand, or the suicide bombers do it, they are actually full of hope. They are full of faith in God. They are individuals who are hopeful that their action will ultimately redeem the nation, will redeem the suffering of Muslims. And they are doing it eagerly, not out of escapism, but because they want to have an impact in life. And that, to them, is a distinction in intention. And the intention is what makes a difference between suicide and martyrdom.
You write and have been researching on suicide bombers in Iraq. In your research, did you think come across a strategy to stop people from doing this, to talk them out of it, to convince them that this is not martyrdom, in fact, it's murder?
I found the most effective thing is the fact that parents stood in the way of individuals. I interviewed this Jordanian who actually wanted to volunteer in the first phase of the war as U.S. forces were invading Iraq, the multinational forces were invading Iraq. And he wanted to go. And the thing that held him back was the fact that his mother was crying. She was in tears. She was begging him not to go. And she was frantically calling relatives and friends to try to hold him back. And he told me that he actually wasn't convinced by his mother, but it delayed him long enough that ultimately the Iraqi regime fell and he didn't have to go. Those who volunteer go because they want to fight the Americans, not the Shiites, not the Iraqi security forces. And when they are told that you are here to, you know, we want you to blow up this police recruitment center or we want you to blow up this market, they begin to have questions and they revert back.
Does that mean that it's a momentary, overwhelming emotion that you want to go and do this and you actually can be convinced that maybe this is not the best idea for your life?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a momentary thing. It is a process where you make a decision, but that decision has to be reinforced and further nurtured to go to the next step of actually preparing yourself and the organizations themselves beginning to organize the cars, organize the target. And so it's more of a process than a momentary decision. But I think there are certain what I call bridge-burning acts that make it very difficult to go back. So, for instance, if you make a trip to Iraq, it becomes very difficult to leave because, you know, it takes a long time for smugglers to put you in, and now you are privy to some of the organizational secrets or the group secrets, and it's not very easy when you're in that context to simply say, you know, guys, I changed my mind. But also when you begin to make those video statements or when you, in a group context, make a commitment to jihad and martyrdom, it is very difficult then to take your word back. It is that sort of encapsulation that takes place that makes it very difficult for individuals to say, I don't want to do this anymore.
Hmm. Thank you very much. Mohammed Hafez, author of Suicide Bombers in Iraq, The Strategy and Ideology of Martyrdom.